The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
And I'm very excited to talk to my first guest this morning. She's had a busy couple of weeks thanks to being on the winning trio of Faithfuls that won €54,000 between them in Treasures Ireland. And what a success that was. Vanessa Ogbonna grew up in Tramore in County Waterford, and she's described her community in Tramore and Tramore FC and how special they were to her. And she joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning. You're very welcome, Vanessa.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
No problem. How many interviews do we think we've done so far in the last 2 weeks? Have you counted them?
No, I haven't. Maybe like between seven.
Okay, so busy most days. Have you been?
Yeah, trying to space them out anyway, so it's not too bad so far.
Oh, it's been such a whirlwind for you. But how have you spent the summer knowing that you won Treasures Ireland?
Oh, grand. Like, I mean, to be fair, it didn't exist until it came out, so.
But was it a secret? Was it just a secret?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so nobody knew until, like, it was announced, like, the day of the first episode, but it was actually grand. Like, I really didn't really talk to anybody about it,
because
once again, like, it doesn't really exist until it's airing, you
well,
know.
True.
Like the kind of weeks closer to were a bit harder,
uh-huh.
Because people were talking about it. There's a little bit of buzz around it, but no, summer was grand.
God, that's mad, because I think because Treasures is so big in the UK that I think we expected a lot and we got a lot from Treasures Ireland. I don't know if I'd be able to keep it a secret that I was on the winning team. And a faithful.
Yeah, for sure.
And tell me, what made you enter the and think about the idea of being on Treasures Ireland? How did it all start for you?
Initially, it was just kind of just seeing the crack around it, seeing the hype around it. Traders UK was on kind of in and around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't watched it before. The people in my office at the time were crazy about it. So it was more just seeing their reaction to it and kind of their thoughts around the Traitors that made me more excited about it, because I was just kind of new into the concept at that time.
And what was the process of putting your name in the hat for this? What did you have to do?
It seems like so long ago now. I know we'd fill in the form. I know we'd send a video. I think we met with a couple of people once or twice, and there's just different type of kind of questions about life and different things. That you were asked, but yeah, it was pretty lengthy now, to be fair.
And was there a process of elimination, like an interview after interview, or was it quite a quick process?
No, there's I think like two or three interviews maybe, but otherwise it was I think like sending the videos in and all.
Okay, and I read somewhere that it was just 2 weeks that you were in Slane Castle, is that right?
Yeah, for the people who made it to the final, yeah. So it would have been 2 weeks of filming.
Yeah, but it's kind of like the Gaeltacht. You seem to have gotten on really well and gotten really close in those 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a crash course to friendship.
Yeah. I've talked about this so many times to people and we can't work it out. So there's loads of you at some stage at the first part of Traitors. Do you all stay in separate hotels then?
I think we stayed in the same hotel, so you don't really know where everybody's staying because you're on your own.
Okay.
So everybody's on their own and it's just you and your hotel room, really. So I believe we all stayed in the same place, but somebody could have been down the road and we really wouldn't have known unless they told us.
And we allowed leave your hotel room then once you got to it?
No. So the confidentiality of it all, it's just quite a strict process.
Uh-huh. And were you allowed to have your phone or anything?
No, so no phone for 2 weeks.
How was that?
It was intense. That was probably the hardest part, because I'm crazy on my phone and chatting to friends and family and all of that.
And was it a long day of filming every day?
Yeah, it was quite long. Couple hours, like most, like I think like 12 hours or something, like morning to evening kind of filming, yeah.
Okay, so at least when you got back to the hotel, you could sleep. You didn't have like 16 hours to yourself.
Yeah, no, I personally couldn't do anything else but go straight to sleep, yeah.
Okay. And it's like, it just was so well received. And you filmed for so long. Were you surprised by some of the things you saw during the series, or did you forget a lot of it?
Yeah, definitely forgot a lot of it. And I guess like even with the edits, like there's things that happen in a certain way and you're just not, like the way we're watching it obviously is not the way it was lived, because obviously there's multiple people in there, you're chatting to multiple people about multiple things, so you're not really getting to pick what comes out in the end, you know. So it was all kind of new to us watching it as well.
Yeah, it's funny because even like with the Mean Girls comment, for example, I didn't really understand where that came from, or, you know, you're not getting the depth of what's happening to people or how people are feeling, yeah, I suppose.
I guess that comment in itself was quite blown out of proportion as well, because like she felt like we were coming for her character. But if you watch it back, we don't say anything about her as a person. Like, and like, I guess this wasn't information that we had at the time, but watching it back about 3 episodes before, she had been going between ourselves and Faye and them and whatever. So in this game, like, people are going to end up talking, people are going to say someone said or someone didn't say, like, so, like, and I think definitely was a bit of miscommunication in the wording of what she said, but the underlying fact was that the way she said what she said wasn't the way we said it, if that makes sense. So I think she didn't go, she doesn't believe that she went around lying, but it's kind of like, like if I said, oh, the sky is blue, and you said, oh, Vanessa said the sky isn't red, like, we're saying the same thing, but it's not the same thing. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's kind of what it was. It was kind of like, Vanessa said she's going to vote for you, or Vanessa said this, but it was like, no, like, the way everybody else is playing the game, we're all strategizing, we're all trying to figure out, okay, if this person is a traitor, what are the things that they have done that we think they're a traitor for? And that's kind of how we were going about the Faye comment. And it was quite, I guess, ironic, because even a couple of days before that, she wasn't believing like Faye's, like, crying and stuff like that. And we also questioned it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was like, it's a game of trying to get as much as you can together. And so for it to be taken quite personally, for all of us, we were all shocked as well, you know. And you see from my reaction that we're quite also shocked by her
and
reaction,
because
because I guess at the same time, we now feel like we've acted wrongly and we have the information wrongly, hence why we then go after Faye the next day, because we're like, somebody lied here, because clearly her response was quite genuine, you know, like, her response is quite shocked at the fact that we're coming at her, which also was quite surprising. Then when you're watching it back and it's like, well, when you're going to different people saying different things, like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
You know?
And at that stage of the game, it's so heightened. There was only a few of
you left. Extremely. And that's and you're kind of, you're clutching onto strings at that stage. Like, and people are saying, oh, why didn't we go after Nick and Ben? And like, the reality is that in the show, once something comes up, you have to figure that thing out.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to sit on it, like, and you don't know what the truth is until the person goes up there and is banished.
It's mad because it feels like it's stuff that in day-to-day life, like, even your dead-ass comment, like, that was just, like, pulled apart. It's just a comment, you know, just to
It's just normal, like,
But it was that was what was so brilliant about it. Like, everything was just so pulled apart, and like you're saying, it's just a game, but it gets so personal. I don't think I'd be able for it, because I would feel like Joanne, I'd feel my personality was being pulled apart, whereas really it's about whether you're or not you're a faithful or a traitor, which is nothing of what you are in your real life, but you don't know these people, of course.
Exactly. And I guess the comments online and stuff, like, I kind of just kind of put them to the back of me, because it's just like, it's a game, like, do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, when you end up watching it, obviously us living it, we're not living it as a game, like, we're living it as our lived reality.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, when people are watching it, like, you're just watching characters on the telly, like, you know. So I wasn't really too bothered to kind of clear my name. Like, I've had crazy messages coming into my inbox for different reasons, and it's like, yeah, personally, I just blocked them, because I don't really have time for that, you know. Like, I'm not about to explain what the game is to people, and there's different standards for different people as well, and I think that's definitely what I'm not about to get into either, because it's like, unless you did this to every single person who acted in this way, then I can't really comment on your point, you know?
True. And I think that's what's so great about traitors. It kind of piques something in all our personalities and how we would feel if we were in that situation. When did you start to realise, oh, this is going to be huge? Was it like the first few nights, or...?
Probably like the third night. Like, I think, like, yeah, like, I think it was a little bit halfway through the first week or something, you know. It's like, you don't realize that people are gonna, you can't anticipate that. You can't anticipate that people are gonna care, can't anticipate that people are gonna spend their time, like, commenting on it. And I guess, like, the intensity of people's reaction is also the success of the show. Because people care about the show and it's so good, that's why people are acting all crazy and all. But I think it's a little bit of that side as well. Like, you kind of have to look at it on that scale as well, and just look at it and just be like, okay, cool, this TV show is so successful and resonates with people that they care enough You know, no matter whether or not I agree with the comments and all, it's nice to see people making videos yes. about stuff, because that's where the audience grows. It's mm-hmm. it's online, it's word of mouth, it's newspaper articles, all of those things, you know.
Yeah. So now it's on to another thing. So what are your plans? Like, are you going to try and profit from this in your work, or is it about followers on Instagram? What are you thinking you'd like to do for the main part?
Honestly, it's all kind of up in the air right now.
It's all to play for, really.
Yeah, everything is just there, you know. And I guess I feel like I'm at like ground zero again, trying to figure it all out. Like, I've always, for the last couple of years, I have been trying to become a presenter more frequently and stuff. So that is still the goal. And obviously, a growing platform and showing your skill and notoriety and all those things tend to help as well. So it's just trying to figure out what works for me. And yeah, I really do like being in the media, TV, all of those stuff. So it's just about kind of making the right steps to the next level. So
yeah,
we'll see how achievable that is.
Oh, brilliant. And fingers crossed for you. We're, of course, here in the Broadcast Centre on Monday. So you're at home in County Waterford. You were on The Breakfast Show with Niall and Shona. Did you get to go out to Tremore and meet everyone out there?
No. So it's just been a mad week. That was a quick one. Like, I thought it would be nice to go down to Waterford to be in the studio, whereas I've been in the studio in Dublin for everything else. So it just kind of was I just took the trip out and I was able to do the two platforms there. So that was great. But yeah, no, it's been up and down for sure.
And have you family still out in Tremor?
No, my mum lives in Ferrybank now.
Okay. She's in County Waterford.
Yeah, still in Waterford. Like, yeah.
Good stuff. So you like a blah, I'd say, do you?
Yeah, exactly.
And listen, are you going to watch Celebrity Treasures, or you're all done with Treasures at the moment? Because, of course, that comes out this week.
Probably. I think sometimes I kind of wait a day or two to kind of see where it goes.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
Good stuff. Well, Vanessa, it's so lovely to talk to you. It was brilliant to see the three of you win and to see Faithfuls win as well. It was such an amazing game of Treasures. And I hear so much talk about how well Treasures Ireland is going to do abroad as well, because it was so authentic. Loads of cursing in it, of course, which is so Irish. But it'd be great for you as well if it ended up on stations in other parts of the world, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Really kind of fingers crossed there, hoping that's the way it goes for sure.
Oh, it'll be brilliant. Well, look, congratulations. Enjoy the next few months and everything that being one of the winners of Treasure Ireland brings for you. That is Vanessa Ogbonna, and she, of course, is from Tremor in County Waterford. Vanessa, thanks for talking to me this morning.
Thanks, Emil. Thank you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Sunday morning, you are listening to Beat and the Sunday Grill, and a lovely thing happening later on this afternoon in the Great Cullen Collession Parish in County Carlow. It is a blessing of pets. Father John Dunphy is the man who will be doing the job, and he joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning. You're very welcome, Father.
Thanks very much, Orla, for having me on.
This is a lovely thing, and it's an event that's been held to commemorate the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, and he was the patron saint of animals. I remember so well learning about St. Francis of Assisi when I was a child in school.
Yeah, St. Francis is associated with animals and pets, and we have this every year. It's an annual thing. The Sunday that's nearest to his feast, the feast is actually yesterday, the 4th.
Okay.
So we're having it on the Sunday afternoon. It's a better time for people as well, and at 3 o'clock, and we have it outside. It's outside the parish centre. Hopefully the rain will stay off, but normally it's a lovely fine evening.
Lovely stuff. So at 3 o'clock, and then at 3:30 you're going to have a drive-through blessing.
Yeah, whenever the first one is done, what we do is the animals assemble with their owners, and whether it's dogs, cats, fish, rabbits or whatever, and then we have a little bit of music and then some prayers, some readings. And then I go around to each pet individually, and accompanied by some of our young people, and they will give out a little prayer, but also they will give out a little treat. So sponsored by Maxi Sue here in Carlow.
Oh, lovely. Is there a specific prayer, Father?
There is a little prayer. Yeah, we'll have a little reflection prayer that the families can take home and pray with their dog or cat or animal or pet, but we also give them all a little blessing with holy water. And
the
owner says the name, and then we just say the little prayer that to bless both of them, and may the owner enjoy many, many happy years. Fab. With a little pet.
And you've done this
and those words
in the past as well. So have you seen any unusual pets come?
It's mostly dogs, believe it or not, mostly dogs. But there has been cats and rabbits and little hamsters. And every year I have my goldfish. I have my own goldfish. Ah. And sadly, this year my goldfish died.
Oh, no.
So we're going to have a little memory of all pets who died, because we had a lovely dog here called Buddy. Mm-hmm. I had her for the last 12 years. She was the host at this thing every year. Mm-hmm. And she was a parish dog. She goes to mass. She goes down in procession. She all the kids, everyone knows her. And she passed away a couple of weeks ago as well. So everyone's devastated. So we're going to have a little moment of memory for all the little pets who died in the past year as
well. In the name of Buddy. And lots of people from around the parish will know Buddy.
Far and wide and abroad.
And what age was Buddy?
Buddy was 12 and a half.
Okay, so a good age. You're an animal person yourself, are you?
Yes, I was going to say sadly, no, I'm delighted. I actually love animals. I love nature. Mm-hmm. I spend every morning going down feeding the swans and the robins and the blackbirds. So it's my leisure is walking down every morning down the Barrow track here that we have in Grey Cullen and Carlow. And that's my hobby, actually. Gorgeous. Feeding birds and animals. So I am probably known a bit locally as the St. Francis of Grey Cullen.
Lovely. And animals are such a big part of people's family. I know I've been to the Christmas pet service in Christchurch Cathedral in Dublin, and it's always such a lovely event to see the animals all together and how much they mean to people.
Oh yeah, and sure, absolutely. And you know, your pets, they understand you, they know you, you know, you learn to communicate with them and they communicate with you. Mm-hmm. And they have feelings as well. And we just, you know, encourage people to really look after the pets. Mm-hmm. And I know they're animals and birds or whatever, but they have feelings as well. And anything has feelings, we should look after them and respect them.
Definitely.
And mind them, yeah.
Okay, so that is the event that's happening today at 3:00. It is in the Great Cullen Collection Parish Centre in County Carlow. 3:30 then is the drive-through blessing, just for people who can't come out of their car, or is that what you're thinking of, if it rains? Or
yeah, well, we had it during COVID. We started the drive-in blessing, and then it worked very successful. So we said we'd keep it on, because some people, maybe their animal is a little bit boisterous, not anything bold or anything, but maybe because all the animals around it, I mean, they're everywhere around the air. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they prefer maybe to keep their pet in the car.
That's a good idea.
Or maybe their owner maybe mightn't be able to stand as long as whatever as well. You know, there's a number of reasons, but the drive-in is always very successful as well. They come in one way and they go out the other, and they stop and they get a little blessing and a little prayer card and a little treat for their pet as well.
Great stuff. It sounds like a lovely event. It's going to be happening today at 3 p.m. It is Grey Cullen and Collection Parish Centre there in County Carlow. I know our Dana from Beat News will be there with her doggies. So you'll have a great event.
Looking forward to her. Yeah,
thank you so much for
all
talking.
All are welcome, by the way. Yeah. Oh, it's not just Catholic dogs, every dog as well.
I know. If you have a donkey, bring your donkey.
Bring donkey, absolutely.
Yeah. Father John Duffy, it's lovely to talk to you this morning. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
And my next guest is a Goree native and a female clown. Nora Lester is living in Goree in County Wexford and is a professional clown. She's running some improv and clowning workshops in her hometown this month, and she joins me on the grill to tell us more. You're very welcome, Nora.
Oh, thank you.
And you're a clown.
I am a clown, yeah.
Will you? Now, you see, you're doing what a clown does, making people laugh and making them feel
already.
Good about already. So well done. Describe what a clown is in your own words. How would you describe what a clown is?
Well, I guess there's a lot of different kinds of clowns, which makes it a bit confusing. But the sort of clowning that I do, it's kind of more contemporary clown stuff.
Okay.
So it's like my background is in theatre and performance and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this style of clowning, it's kind of like a mix of acting, improv, physical comedy and performance art, I guess, is like the easiest way to describe it.
Do you wear a red wig?
I don't wear a red wig, but I do wear a red nose.
You do have the red nose. Is that kind of what deciphers people versus clowns? Is that why you do that? You know, no matter what way you do your art of clowning, do you think the red nose is important?
I think it is important. I think it's like very possible to do a clown show without the red nose as well. Yes. Like, it's not the defining feature, but it just helps, you know, because you already have something that's kind of like not human.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And so, instantly recognizable.
Yeah. They call the red nose like the smallest mask in the world.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So it's meant to be like, I guess, a mask to reveal your, they say that people tell the truth. They only tell the truth when they wear a mask because it's easier.
Okay.
So yeah, the red nose is like the tiniest mask that's used to sort of reveal your humanity, I guess.
Okay.
Is what it's about.
But at the same time, if you put on the red nose, do they expect a certain type of clowning from you? A lot of slapdash comedy and custard pies in your face?
I think so. Like, the funny thing about the whole art form is that people originally, of course, they expect that. But then when they come to the show, they realize it's like something completely different.
Which is great.
I guess, yeah, yeah. And so it's still like physical humor. Mm. And I mean, its roots are probably in that style of clown. It's just a more modern day clown.
Okay, great stuff.
That also kind of, I guess the thing about the red nose as well is you can explore darker material with it and then it's still funny, you know, like.
Yeah.
It's very Irish, actually, like when someone tells like a really dark story, but somehow they make it funny.
Sticks a bit of humour in it as well, yeah.
Yeah, because it's the truth or something. So that's the thing with the red nose as well.
So why clowning? What did you do before you became a female clown? Or is this always part of your repertoire as an actor and a writer?
Oh, it wasn't always. I guess like the first time I came across clowning was a good few years ago, maybe like 10 years ago. I was directing a show in the Edinburgh Fringe and me and my friend just went to see this. It was this, I probably can't say his name on the radio, but this clown. And his poster was just like crazy. And I was like, we just have to see this show. Like he's like in this red kind of morph suit with this white face and he looks like kind of like evil, and his show was called Red Bastards. We were like, what the hell is this? Like, this could be terrible, this could be amazing. And when we went to the show, it actually blew my mind, because he was so like, he was so good at working with the audience. It's a one man kind of show. Like his physical humor was really great. He was really good at working with the audience. And like the whole show was about like, what do you really want from your life kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And people, like one guy like called up his boss and quit his job and stuff mid-show. Wow. yeah, it was crazy. It was just like really risky and bold and funny at the same time.
And so you decided.
And I just kind of loved that.
That this is something you'd like to take on as well.
Yeah. You have to be a little bit mad, I guess.
Do you think there's a difference between what a female clown does and what a male clown does?
I don't think so. Like, the whole thing about clowning is like, when you're training in it, it's about discovering what's kind of unique and funny about you.
Okay.
You know, like what's specifically interesting about you as a performer. So that's you kind of discovering your inner clown. So I think because everybody is so different, like I thought, like in my mind, like the idea of what your clown is going to be is really different to what it actually is.
And what's like, your clown
Really vocal, like, okay. And like lots of rage and stuff.
Oh.
So the whole thing about like clowning is it's not just this sort of innocent, joyful clown. It's got like all the complexity of like being a human in there. Yeah, I thought my clown would be really like silent and really physical and something. Okay. And then it was this whole other thing. But it's always, you know.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. And
yeah.
Where do you perform then?
Well, I have this one-woman show called Bunny Bunny.
Okay.
That, yeah, so like after seeing that show in Edinburgh, a few years later I went and trained in like Red Nose Clowning in Canada.
Okay.
Wow. And then I made this one-woman show. And we've been touring that for like the last 3 years.
Wow. And are you still on tour with that?
No, we're on a little bit of a break now. So the last show was in Skibbereen Arts Festival this summer.
Very
in
good.
July.
But you're running workshops in Goree, where you're living. Improv and clowning workshops. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so the workshops are... They're taking place in Goree Business Park in one of the studios there. And it's a 6-week beginner course for participants to kind of discover their inner clown. And it uses like clowning and improvisation techniques to like discover your clown and learn how to work with an audience and play, basically.
And what sort of, like what age group would you recommend would go to this? Like, it's not for children, obviously. It's an adult clowning workshop.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. People often think it's for children, but this style, yeah.
Okay.
It's for adults. So, but I'd say teenagers, like 16 plus. But it's kind of, it's an adult course, basically.
And it's a 6-week beginner course. It starts tomorrow. That's October the 6th. So it's running every Monday for those 6 weeks between 7:15 and 9:15 p.m. So it's running up until November and lots of improv. So like what sort of people would you think would enjoy doing something like this? Like what sort of attributes would they have?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say like you need a certain amount of courage and openness. But I think like it's really like it's funny to say this, but like I was always quite a shy person when I was younger. And then when I discovered acting, I was like, oh, like this is amazing because you can, I just find it easier to express myself through like, you know, it's like I'm the clown. It's not me. It's the clown
red nose
or it's
again.
The character.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. And you said that your show is called Bunny Bunny, but what is your clown called? Does your clown persona have a name?
Bunny.
She's called Bunny.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's what I should have called you from the start, Nora. Giving the game away. Well, listen, if people...
Well, I'll teach the workshops as Nora.
Oh, so. Okay. It'll be Nora. That's okay then.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
So those workshops are in Goree Business Park. They're Monday evenings from 7:15 to 9:15 p.m. They start tomorrow, October the 6th. How can people get more details on them, Nora?
Oh, yeah. Well, they can contact me on my email, norakellylester@gmail.com.
Okay, good
or
stuff.
Or else there's also the events on Eventbrite.
Okay, good stuff. So if you search for improv clowning comedy workshops on Eventbrite, you'll get more details there. And you can also follow Nora on Instagram. If you check out Nora Kelly Lester, you'll find her there and all details about the workshop as well. Nora, thanks for talking to me this morning. That was really interesting. And happy clowning. Is that how I sign off to a clown?
I bet I've never been signed off as a clown.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just going to say yeah. Like,
okay, good stuff.
Good.
Happy clowning, Bunny. And Nora, thanks a million for joining me this morning.
All right.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Well, it is back to normal on the Sunday Grill and the movie review this week. Brian is where he should be, sitting on a stool over there.
I still can't believe we actually just swap seats. We didn't need to do that at all.
You want Brian?
I know, but like I'm happy because I wanted to, and it's like it adds to the bit. But
well,
like it's so funny.
His face
we're the
changed
only two people.
When he came over here to the studio side and saw all the bells and whistles. There was a moment of, "What have I done?"
Yeah, but
now you can't admit that I have a hard job, can't you?
No.
Excuse me.
We pressed record on that, and I gradually just changed the levels every now and again. That's all I had to do.
Right. I stand corrected. Let's talk about one battle after another. My friend said I'd absolutely love this, but of course I've done my quota of movies for this year because I've been to see Downton Abbey, the grand finale. So this isn't going to be one for me, but it sounds good. It's Leonardo DiCaprio and Sean Penn are the two heavy hitters in this one. What was the last thing Leonardo DiCaprio was in?
Don't Look Up. That's what popped into my head.
And then what was the last thing Sean Penn was in? It's a long time since I've seen Sean Penn in something.
I don't know. It's actually been a hot minute.
Recently. Yeah, and I'm actually thinking of things like I Am Sam, which are probably about 20 years old with... you know who I'm thinking of. She is one of two sisters. She has blonde hair and her sister is Elle Elizabeth.
Fanning.
Yeah.
Dakota Fanning.
Yes, thank you very much.
He was in, like, the last thing that I saw that Sean Penn was in was Licorice Pizza.
Ah, okay.
Another and Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah, and this is a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. It is called One Battle After the Other. The blurb, let me give you the blurb. So Bob is... Leonardo. So Bob is a washed up revolutionary. He lives in a state of paranoia. He survives off grid and he has a daughter called Willa, but he has an evil nemesis who I presume is Sean Penn. And this evil nemesis resurfaces and Willa goes missing. And let's roll the tape, because I'm a professional, Brian, and you wouldn't know how to roll the tape, would you?
Rise and shine.
Pat an eyelash.
Good morning.
There are no hands on the clock.
Why?
Because they're not needed.
What time is it?
You know, I don't remember that part. All right, let's just not nitpick over the passwords. This is Bob Ferguson. I was a part of the French 75.
Bitch, I felt like Tony Montana!
Steve Lockjaw just attacked my home. And I cannot remember, for the life of my only child, the answer to your question.
Maybe you should have studied the rebellion text a little harder.
I need to find my daughter.
Well, then call us back when you have the time.
There you go. That is a clip from One Battle After the Other. And as we were saying in the blurb there, you can kind of get the gist. His daughter has gone missing. And Sean Penn has her. It could be a Marvel movie, the way that we're describing it, but it's not.
No, to be fair, Leonardo DiCaprio, I think, is the greatest.
Okay.
Of all time. I think he is the best actor that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And like everything he's ever been in, he has just been insanely phenomenal. Let's be real.
Okay.
If Leonardo DiCaprio wants to do a movie, you know that movie's going to be good. And this... is like he has this unique quality where he can just own the screen and you're like, he's such a like loser, but like he can sell it so well. Like,
okay, and why is he a loser?
He was a revolutionary. Mm-hmm. He was like with this like girl who was another revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically she once they had the kid, she left because she wanted to keep revolutionizing. She was kind of jealous of how close Leonardo DiCaprio was with the daughter.
Right.
And she eventually ended up getting caught. And to save herself, she said, I always put myself first. Mm-hmm. To save herself, snitched on a load of the people.
Oh.
So then she went into hiding. And the whole story is basically, like, that's a bit of a spoiler now, to be fair. But that's only the first, like, half an hour. So she then is the person, like, Leonardo DiCaprio and the daughter are left, and he's very conscious of something could happen to her at any time because he's essentially on the run. Like,
right,
you know?
Okay.
So they have an identity change, name and everything. Like, so they have to live this new life, and all of a sudden, Sean Penn's character, Lockjaw, he is sent on the hunt to find this girl because he might be the father.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, bit of a twist. And there's a whole other thing. There's this... Christmas Adventurers Club, which is apparently like this racist club that I'd never heard of.
All right.
Which I suppose is a good thing when you think about it. Then, like, it's this whole story of basically Leonardo DiCaprio just trying to get his daughter back because he spent the last however many years, 15 years or something, just kind of like getting stoned in his house,
uh-huh.
being paranoid and just kind of not living a life. And like, he was never the one to take the shots. He was always like living by orders and stuff. So it's kind of just him finally just doing something, going after something himself, essentially.
Okay. And it's a bit of its time as well, is it? Like,
yeah, do you know what? I feel like there's a lot of movies coming out recently where it's just like, you need to fight. You need to fight back.
Mm.
Like, even Superman, you're just like, you need to stand up and fight against the oppressive regimes that are going on around the place. And it's like, obviously there's no like subtlety lost in that realistically when you're talking about it like that. But it's like, because the whole thing is they're saving people that are detained by like ICE type. I think it even cause it could be ICE, but like ICE type.
And his daughter is of mixed race. So that's one of his worries as well, obviously, because people are being detained. Is that right?
Well, it's more so a case of Lockjaw is notoriously racist.
All right.
So, yeah, it's a movie that I was afraid, like it's 2 hours and 42. And I was afraid that, like, you know how we feel about like long run times.
We're not fans.
Didn't notice it going.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really
Leonardo DiCaprio and Sean Penn are made for 3 hour long movies almost. But with that in mind, is it an actory movie?
No, it's a very much an action y movie as well. And like there's fun, some parts that are hilarious in it. Like Benicio del Toro's in it as well.
Oh, great.
And then like the most random person that's in it. And I love her, Regina Hall. Like I would always see her as Brenda from Scary Movie.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Like it's such a random collection of actors, like of really good actors, and like they all get to perform, but they all like have their own softness to them. Like Sean Penn is like a fantastic actor, but like he has vulnerabilities as well. But Leonardo DiCaprio just comes across as like he's just such a good actor. To be fair, like you can never take that away from him. But it is a properly good movie, and I didn't expect it to be as good.
And how would you describe it? Like, is it a comedy then, or is it a drama? Is it very dark?
Is it
dark at all?
Like, it's like a realistic rescue mission.
Okay.
It's like, but like with sillier elements. So at one stage they like bring her to it. Like, but it's like if you're part of this revolutionary team and you have all these codes and all this stuff, there's parts of it that'll make you laugh out loud, and there's parts of it that'll make you like kind of angry. And there's parts of it that make you sad. Like, it's a very well-rounded, emotionally capable movie, like, you know?
Okay, good stuff. I see Alana Haim from Haim, who also was in Licorice Pizza.
Yeah. So he
is like, in it too, which, of course,
Paul Thomas Anderson.
He is the man behind that, so he knows who he likes.
Yeah. No, I was genuinely impressed. I didn't know what to expect. And only after I saw it did I see like all the TikToks and stuff of people saying how great it was and stuff as well. So it's nice to be kind of reaffirmed then in the sense of it. But I remember seeing the trailer first and being like, okay, this looks good. So,
okay, sounds great.
Lives up to expectations.
But as I said, 2 hours, 50 minutes. I just don't think I can do it.
I think it's one of those things that I think someday you'll be like, it was on Netflix and you said you threw it on and you really just locked in and watched it.
And panned out and watched that instead of looking at my phone. That would be a good one. Hey, will we be blackpudding it?
Yeah, I'm going to give it like 8.5.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's a nice amount of blackpudding. It would leave you full on a Sunday morning.
It would. You'd have to worry about your cholesterol a bit, but you'd be grand.
You'd want to have some sauce as well.
Yes, you would. Yeah. It could be quite dry.
Maybe put in some bread as
well.
Yeah,
we never really discussed black puddings, do we? As a thing. Apart from the time you bought me that massive black pudding.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was.
We've had some good times.
We have. Okay, Sirach. 8.5 black puddings out of 10. The movie is called One Battle After Another. It's out in cinemas now. If you have 3 hours, because you know trailers as well, you'll be there for a good while. And you like some really good acting, some comedy and a bit of thrillingness in there too. But Brian says it's a good one. It's called One Battle After Another. Thank you, Brian.
No problem.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.